Well, welcome back to the Al Wallace Show on a Monday here. Still got some Final Four talk, four downs coming up. Lamar Jackson in the balance, man. Not sure what he's going to do with the Baltimore Ravens. No, I went to school with a lot of Ravens fans up there in College Park in the Maryland, D.C. area. They want Lamar back, but to me, that relationship looks like it's cooked. He's not going to be back there. He's going to try to find somewhere else for his services to be valued. But there are a lot of other teams in this upcoming draft that are on the clock, starting with the Carolina Panthers. Number one overall pick, they trade up. They move DJ Moore to the Chicago Bears to get this pick, and they've gone through their paces. Three stops last week. They're in Columbus. They're in Tuscaloosa, Lexington, to see Will Levis. Got one final stop, I believe it is, this Thursday the 30th. Well, they'll go down to Gainesville and check out Anthony Richardson. But I, after watching C.J. Stroud, Bobby, go through his paces, throw the ball, the accuracy, the ball placement, all those things that you have to love from a young, mature quarterback is exactly what I think this team needs. And it's the reason why I believe, I am confident that the pick come late April is going to be C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State. He's going to be the new face of this franchise, the new quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. But also on the clock, quarterback needy teams, the Texans. You have the Indianapolis Colts, and I know some of these teams have brought pieces in, but it's no one that they're going to hang their hat on that's going to be the full-time starter, that's going to be the future. All three teams now, new head coaches as well, and you know how it goes. New coach, usually a new quarterback. All three of these teams are in a position to draft and build and grow, and that's why I believe it may be three straight quarterbacks in this upcoming draft with Stroud, Bryce Young, and Anthony Richardson, who's probably my next pick, that third pick over Will Levis, who has a gun, he has a big arm, but can he be consistent enough, throw a lot of interceptions, 23, I believe, over the last two seasons for the Kentucky Wildcats. But Seattle, they still, I think, maybe in the hunt. Vegas is another team, even with Jimmy G, believe they can improve on that position. Somebody that could sit and wait. I mean, how long does Minnesota and the Vikings sit with Kirk Cousins? I think all six of those teams could be in contention. I think the Panthers, Texans, and Colts, no doubt about it, going to go 1-2-3. They'll find a way to get one of these three guys. We just got to wait and see what order.
Yeah, and the Raiders are an interesting team because we know Will Levis. I think he met with the Panthers and the Raiders. Yeah. There was the Raiders talking with the Bears before the Panthers made the deal. DJ Moore kind of helped swing that happen, but Vegas was interested in that. They signed Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that was, a three-year deal for Jimmy G, but he's a guy banged up. I think the Raiders are trying to be that team that you don't do a full rebuild, that you're still contending, but you're also looking ahead to the future. And they make sense when you talk about an Anthony Richardson, because he's the guy, Al, that everyone says has the talent, but there's some flaws there. And do you have the time, the patience to work that out of Anthony Richardson? Seattle's the other team you have written down here, Al, that makes a ton of sense. Top five pick. You can take the shot on Anthony Richardson. You re-sign Geno. You give him a year. Maybe it's 2 years. And then when you move on from Geno and you hand over the reins to Anthony Richardson and you hope you have solved your quarterback problem, and you'd be looking at that in Seattle saying, man, we just went 25 years of having Russell Wilson and Anthony Richardson with a 2-year stopgap of Geno Smith, who happened to play the best football of his life during that. I think that is a serious consideration for Seattle, and you would think for Anthony Richardson, that would be a good spot. Al, I mean, you know this, as an undrafted player, you got to pick where you ended up, and you went with Jacksonville. You had to pick the spot where you think, hey, I can make a name for myself, and it worked out for you. For guys that are drafted at the top of the draft, where you go 100% changes what your career could be, because if you ended up in a different spot, you might have become a good player. Maybe you suck because you go to this certain team.
Ask David Carr what his career might look like if not being drafted in 2002, number one overall, to an expansion, Houston Texans, and just gets pummeled over the course of his career. Most and sack quarterback in the NFL over that span.
Look at Matt Corral. His career. Who knows what kind of – I don't even know if he gets a chance to do anything again.
I don't know
again.
If he's good or not.
I don't. Like, I don't.
Can he play the game?
But the Panthers screwed him over. So I don't know. I have no idea if Matt Corral can play the game or not.
He has to be the most frustrated guy on this roster. Like, do you go in after year one being on injured reserve and demand a trade? That sounds ludicorous. That sounds
crazy. Hell, if I'm
Matt
Corral, I'm like, can you just release me? I'm going to go play the USFL coming up here
it
next month.
He could be
month.
Playing.
Just
the
let me
XFL.
Go play. Yeah, let
it
me go show
the
something.
The MVP of the XFL along with McCarron for the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Well, Monday night XFL tonight, by the way.
Should be good. Undefeated DC Defenders.
Yeah. Little beer pit.
It should be good.
Beer snake.
I didn't know what that was, and then I saw the highlight.
It's something I feel like we could accomplish on a road trip,
I mean,
Al.
Just the two of us?
Yeah.
From the booth all the way down
to
the field?
I was thinking like a Friday night, maybe from like if there's a second floor down to the hotel lobby bar, and then Biff's walking by, and well, hey, man, join in on the beer snake.
Man, don't threaten me with a good time. You know I'm down, so we'll figure it out. I am excited about that part. I know the Niners, when do they start? The 21st, so they're in spring ball.
I think
the
they just got
on.
Going. Yeah, yeah, last
I saw
week.
The highlights. So,
there's a little scrimmage this weekend I saw Biff tweet out today.
Excited to get out there and check them out because football looks good in shorts.
You got to work the spring game.
Body,
you know that, right?
I know.
I might go and just have a beer state thing going on.
That's not
my
right.
Normulence tailgate. That's not right. Have a good time.
As long as
I'm not working that. I have not been asked. And Jacob, if you're listening, you don't need me.
As long as our booth is properly,
it should be
taken care of.
Yes,
I'll be okay.
I'm with you on
it's
that.
A spring day. It should be a nice
7 o'clock
day,
so. At night.
Oh, there we go. We'll get it done. I love you, Jacob. We'll get it done. We'll have a good time doing it. But man, look. When I look at these three teams, and we can take Seattle out because they have Geno, Vegas, Jimmy G. Of course, I put Kirk Cousins down there because, man, Kirk's been doing this for a long time. And with Justin Jefferson being maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL, how long do you keep that relationship? Can he win playoff games? They look good. They're always the team throughout the course of the year that you're, I know they're 14-2, but you know they're going to get knocked off as soon as they get in the playoffs, and they're never able to get this thing done. Look, the Panthers, the Texans, and the Colts, if, like I was when I was a free agent way back in 1997, able to choose the team that I thought was going to give me the best chance for success, not just this year, but in years to come. And I know we're here. I know this is a Charlotte, North
Homer.
Carolina-based team. It has to be the Panthers, man. You look at this roster and what they've changed. Every skill position on this offense has been upgraded. It's been improved. Maybe not upgraded at wide receiver when you're talking DJ Moore, but certainly Adam Thielen. The pickup and the signing of DJ Chark. I mean, they've gotten better. Hayden Hurst at tight end. That offensive line, they're going to add some depth. I believe they're still going to draft an offensive lineman, continue to build on offense and defensive line, a new 3-4 defense. Frank Reich, the power group that he's put in those buildings as far as the coaching staff, the Carolina Panthers are primed and poised to improve this year. I think it should be a good leap. But the next couple of years, also a factor in the NFC South. If I'm a quarterback, if I'm CJ, if I'm Bryce Young, if I'm Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, I'm praying that I'm the number one overall pick for all the reasons that come with number one overall pick, but I know I can win with the Carolina Panthers.
Look, the biggest positive, Al, and I'll go back to what you said about David Carr. Panthers have a good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So you're stepping into a situation that you should feel comfortable dropping back to pass and knowing you're not going to be getting hit every single time. Now, it's funny. We look at the weapons, Al, that the Panthers have added with Adam Thielen, DJ Chark, Miles Sanders, and Hayden Hurst. And Mark and I talked about this last week. If you look at the NFC South, and I don't know how you'd feel about this, we still had Carolina third in terms of skill players. And even we had Atlanta four, and I thought you could even make the argument you can push Atlanta up, to be honest with you. Because Tampa still got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin.
Yeah, that alone.
And New Orleans, Michael Thomas is back. Chris Olave is a stud, so those are two great wide receivers. Alvin Kamara, I don't know if there will be a suspension, but let's just say he's not. He's playing. They signed Jamal Williams as well. It's good. So
the Saints are number one, and I think they're still the best team, I believe,
yes,
in the
with
NFC
Derek
South
Carr.
Because of the quarterback.
Yes, I agree with that. They are. I think my point there is we look at this Panthers, and I think we get excited. Oh, yeah, they bring in Thielen and Chark. All right, let's pull that back a little bit here. I don't think it's an elite group.
It's not. That's true.
Miles Sanders is good. I mean, they're all good. And for a rookie quarterback to step into this situation, because I don't know if there's a bad one, though, Al. I like the Texans. D'Amico Ryans. I think they brought in Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
I think that organization, it's been a dumpster fire for a few years, but it feels, and they haven't deserved the trust that it's going to turn around in Houston, but I could see it. Indianapolis, I mean, the offensive line is good up there. You got Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor was hurt.
At running back. It's not like they're a bad football team here. I'll go with you, and I'll say the Panthers, but I do think it's a close group of football teams.
Yeah, it's not a big gap, but I think I'm also, and I have all my factors down here, right? I think when you look at the other side of the ball as well, you give me the best defense in this group out of those three teams. Man, the Panthers are maybe not that best group. I'm still going to look at with DeMeco Ryans, that Texans defense is going to get better. The Colts defense, before all the injuries, I thought was going to be really good last year, and they did not do a great job, especially getting Stephon Gilmore, and you're thinking, man, they're going to be able to make some play. I think the Panthers are going to improve. I think they're going to improve, and they may have the best defense. They have a lot of young pieces, but they still got to improve, still got to get linebackers. You still got to work on depth at the cornerback position. You got to get the corners healthy to start with. But all those things, and I think the biggest factor is they have the most experience and the best coach out of those three, and Frank Reich is going to be able to get this team where they need to be. I know it hasn't looked right the last couple years. I know last year with the Colts leading to – Frank getting fired did not look good, but all the reasons and the excuses were given the Colts is why I think he was still a good coach. They just got injured. They got banged up in key positions, and they failed.
One thing it gets thrown out there about Frank Reich now, of this kind of quarterback whisperer. I like Frank Reich.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson today said, obviously they worked together in Philly, now down in Jacksonville. He's great with young quarterbacks. You go through Frank Reich's history as where he is an OC, QB coach, or head coach, he has always worked with old quarterbacks outside of one, and that was Carson Wentz. That was the one first round pick, and
so already established veteran guys.
I mean, he worked with Peyton Manning, Philip Rivers were his main two guys till he went to Philadelphia, and Carson Wentz. Now, Carson was having an MVP type season that one year. The Eagles won the Super Bowl until the injury took him out. Nick Foles took over, but then you go to Indianapolis. He had Luck that was already there for one year. Then it was Jacoby Brissett. Uh-huh. Then you brought Philip Rivers in. Then you brought Matt Ryan. Jacoby Brissett. There was somebody after Philip Rivers. Oh, yeah, Carson Wentz being a part of that. So this thing about Frank Reich and young QBs, I don't know what people are looking at because the track record is not there for that.
You got to give him some credit with a backup quarterback taking you all the way through a Super Bowl run, right? You got to give him some credit for Nick Foles, I guess. I mean,
but
Nick
don't
Foles
we give credit to Doug Peterson? I mean, that's where it's tough because Doug was the guy calling those plays, right?
Was Doug the OC or was it the other way around?
I mean,
Frank was
the OC, but I...
Oh, here we go with the Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy. Like, who's getting the credit? And I can't remember which Chiefs
Doug
offensive
Peterson's
player
getting
was
the credit
on that team. But they admitted, like, Eric Bieniemy was a part of the game planning. Like, he was in the room. He had to say, but he did not call the plays. And that was such the big argument over the last couple years. I think we knew Andy. Well, we can read lips. Andy Reid's calling the plays.
And he's
behind
got,
the sheet.
Yeah, he's got the he's damn got thing the up there. Sheet. He's clearly calling the plays. But same for the Eagles this year with
Shane Steichen.
Nick, yeah, Sirianni and Steichen. I think it was Sirianni that was the guy, right?
I don't think so. I think it was all Shane Steichen.
And then Steichen gets the job.
And whoever got elevated, was it Brown? Somebody got elevated, and that is now the Eagles' offensive coordinator. I think that dynamic, but I think it was Shane Steichen calling those plays. I think it was all Steichen, who's now the Colts head coach. So I want to give
Frank
that credit.
Maybe he's more of a quarterback whisperer with what he did with Jalen Hurts.
We'll see. But this thing is all about these new coaches in the decisions that they have coming up here late April of who's going to be their quarterback. That's going to determine their legacy and how long they last with this team and how we look at them as a head coach. So big decisions have to be made in about a month now. So I'm excited to see what Frank Reich, Scott Fitterer, those guys, David Tepper, got to throw him in there. You know, he's a part of that group too.
Unfortunately.
Maybe Mrs. Tepper as well, because she's there too. I saw her hugging up on the guys and showing love. So she's a part of that decision-making group, but we'll come back. We'll have some four downs here on the Al Wallace Show. Talk some more quarterbacks here on 7:30 The Game.